What's the cross? Oh, it's a nice religious symbol. We wear it around our necks. We put it on the walls. No, the cross was so terrible that for the first several centuries, Christians wouldn't depict it. When Cicero, one of his letters, refers to a crucifixion, he uses a circumlocution. He doesn't even want to talk about it. Doesn't want to mention the cross. It was too shocking, too terrible. You know what the cross represents? It represents all the power that the world can muster. You mess with Rome, that's what happens to you. You mess with Rome, we will nail you to this instrument of torture. We will leave your body in a public place to be consumed by the animals. That's what the cross meant. What did Jesus do now at the climax of his life? Jesus called out the dysfunction of the world. Yes, everything that's happened since the fall. Yes, all those permutations and combinations of sin. Hatred, injustice, rivalry, division, fratricide, stupidity. It's all on display. Jesus calls it out, and it spends itself on Him. He's on top of Mount Zion, by the way, when he wages this battle. Yes, He's there like the Davidic warrior, but He fights not in the worldly way. He fights through the power of nonviolent love and forgiveness, allowing all the sin of the world to wash over Him. How come, therefore, He's not just one more person ground under by the wheel of history? How come He's not just one more romantic figure from the distant past? Because in the telling of the great story, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He was raised from the dead. This same Jesus crucified, this same Davidic warrior, put to death by the powers of the world, appears alive again to His disciples. And He says to them and to us, Shalom, peace. That's the same peace in which the world was created. That's the same peace that God has willed for Israel. That's the peace that the world can't give. We killed God. And God still loves us. Every ounce of the world's negativity washed over Him, and He responded with forgiving love, proving that God's life and love are more powerful, listen, than anything that's in the world. That's why in that great cross, the Christian faith is born. That's why Paul can say to the Romans, I am certain that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither height nor depth, nor any other power can separate us from the love of God. Why does Paul say that? How does he know it? Because we killed God. And God returned in forgiving love. In that, the story of Israel reaches its climax. There's Jesus, the faithful Israelite. And there's Jesus, the faithful God, true human, meeting in the unity of His person. And in that unity is our salvation. What's the last thing the Mashiach was supposed to do? Gather the tribes, cleanse the temple, deal with the enemies of Israel, and finally, reign as Lord of the nations. Oh, listen, when you read St. Paul, how these words can just flow through our minds. But Paul says over and over again, Jesus Kyrios, Jesus Kyrios, Jesus Kyrios, Jesus is the Lord. We say, well, yeah, that's nice religious language. Those are fighting words. Because a watchword in the ancient Roman world was Kaiser Kyrios, Caesar's the Lord. Caesar's Lord, He's in charge. We order our lives by Him. What did Paul say? Not Him. Not Him. Because He threw the worst He had at us. He threw the cross at Christ. But God's love is more powerful. And therefore, it's not puny little Caesar who's the Lord and all His descendants down the ages. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus who is the Lord. You see now why Paul spent much of his time in prison. we don't get it, but they got it. They knew exactly what he was saying when he said, Jesus curious. That was subversive talk. It still is. It still is. I love this detail. The Gospel of Mark, they say, is written around the year 70. If you go to Rome, they'll show you a point on the Capitoline Hill where they think Mark lived. They say the Gospel of Mark is written around the year 70. Who died in 64? Peter and Paul. Good chance that Mark knew them both well. There he was, in the belly of the beast, in the capital of the great empire, which had just put to death his friends Peter and Paul. The same empire that put Jesus to death. Ah, but listen to Mark as he commences his gospel. I want to share with you, he says, euangelion, gospel, good news. Hey, that was a fighting word too. Read Pope Benedict on this in his book on Jesus. Euangelion was a term in the ancient world for an imperial victory. When Caesar won, a messenger was sent ahead with the euangelion, the glad tidings that Caesar's won. Caesar's lordship has been reaffirmed. I love the fact that St. Mark, little St. Mark, his friends have just been killed. The Christian community's on the run. He's there in the belly of the beast, in the heart of the empire. And he's got the panache to say, I got the real euangelion for you. And it doesn't have a thing to do with Caesar. It's about this Jesus, the Mashiach of Israel, who is the true Lord. Listen, Christians, that's what we proclaim. We do it in the same way, with the same courage of Peter and Paul and Mark and the rest of them. That's the coming of the Messiah. That's the fourth act.